You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Go to the movies. Think of Job, you know, where Job, the whole story of Job, where he comes to this point in his life where he's just lost everything. Everything's been stripped away. That's the word, poverty. And so Jesus is saying to these people, I know your afflictions. And I know your poverty. I see all of that. I see actually that in your situation, everything that you had previously valued has been stripped away from you. Loved ones have been taken from you. Your homes have been taken from you. Your livelihood has been taken from you. I see your poverty. Number three, he says, I know your slander. I know about those lies that people are spreading about you. Destroying your reputation. Destroying your good name in the community. I see the injustice of all of that. Terrible. These people are going through terrible times. It's very clear that they're in a terrible place of suffering and pain and injustice. And Jesus says to them, I know about that. I see all of that. And then he says something extraordinarily surprising. He says, and yet you are rich. What? You know, think of the original hearers of that, thinking, hang on. Do you know, Lord? Do you understand? Yet you are rich. He does understand. And what Jesus wants them to understand is that there's a richness in spiritual things that has nothing to do with this world's wealth, and which in fact this world's wealth will only numb your senses to. Here in the church of the Western world, there's a Western perversion gospel that's often preached in our churches. Not in this church, I would be confident. But it's a perversion gospel that goes something like this. Jesus died on the cross and he suffered so that I don't have to, and so that I might have an easy life of indulgence and comfort and pleasure here on earth. Jesus did all that. Jesus died on the cross so that I can basically just kind of put my feet up and just enjoy life, a life of blessing. You know, a well-rounded understanding of the New Testament will paint a very different picture, where we are perhaps reminded of some of those other verses that we don't like to focus on so much. But Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Or Jesus' words to the rich young ruler, where he said, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. Those verses that we think, oh, I'm glad the Lord's not saying that to me. I'm glad that doesn't apply to me. That was just to that guy in that situation. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. You will experience affliction and poverty and slander if you follow me. But take heart. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. It seems to me we need to somehow return to a theology of suffering and even of martyrdom. But I'd have to say it's not a very popular form of preaching in the Australian church. And the message that people generally want to hear is that my faith in Christ is going to improve my quality of life. It's not the gospel. So the danger is that pastors preach that message. Come to Jesus and your life will get better. Your problems will go away. Because that's the message that will draw the crowds and fill up the offering bowls. But the message of salvation comes with greatest clarity to those in the midst of suffering of various kinds. The Christians in Smyrna are in the midst of suffering of various kinds. And so here the Lord reminds his people that he is the first and the last. And he assures them that he knows all about their situation and what they're going through. He sees their suffering. He's with them in the midst of it. He hasn't turned his back on them. And then number three, Jesus encourages his people. I discover if you write encourages like that, then it gets a little red underline in your Word document. But I've done that on purpose. Jesus encourages his people. He instills courage into them. He gives them courage. And he says things to them in the midst of their terrible suffering. Don't be afraid. Be faithful. Stand firm, hold the line. I am with you. Stay true to me, be faithful, and I'll give you the crown of life. You know, the courage that comes from the Spirit of God is life transforming. It certainly transformed the lives of the early disciples, who went from being this kind of frightened, timid group huddled together behind closed doors, to the group we read about in the book of Acts that just went about with incredible boldness, regularly just thrown in prison, endangering their lives in the book of Acts. I want to tell you a story that recently came out of Iran. But as I considered this story that I heard just a few weeks ago, I thought it might as well have come out of first century Smyrna. And it's a story that comes from a guy that I met who heard this story firsthand from a young 25-year-old woman. So I can absolutely vouch for its authenticity. This girl's story, this young woman's story, begins some years earlier when she was 11 years old. She was living in Iran, part of a very devout Muslim family. And at the age of 11, her father made the decision to leave the family, for whatever reason, and go off and live in another city. Now in Iran, if a woman doesn't have the protective covering of a male figure in the family, then she's very likely to be exploited in various ways. And so a woman in that scenario, so here it is, there's a woman and her daughter, this little girl who we're talking about, a woman in that scenario who gets a job, for example, won't be paid for the first 6 months. And even beyond that, she may not be paid. She may just be just exploited and trapped in some form of employment. And so, you know, many women in that kind of scenario resort to a life of prostitution because at least then they will be paid from day one. But this 11-year-old girl's mother was a woman of some integrity. And so she opted not to go in that life, in that direction of a life of prostitution. And so the girl and her mother were very, very poor. And then to make matters worse, having already been left in this very vulnerable situation in this very oppressive society, at the age of 13, this girl's mother was then diagnosed with serious cancer. And so this girl would, in desperation, she'd go to visit the local imams to pray, sometimes for up to 8 hours a day, just desperately praying for her mother's healing. She continued to do that. A couple of years went by, so now she's 15 years old. Her mother's just getting progressively worse and worse. This girl, up to the age of 15, would go and pray for her mother every single day. Well, one day, coming home from the mountain shrine, the first time in her life, someone told this girl about Jesus, the one who is the first and the last, the one who knows our afflictions and our suffering. And this man told her that Jesus is actually God. And actually, when you pray to Jesus, then he will answer, and in essence, he was having begun to understand this girl's situation, he's imploring her to just to try Jesus. Just try Jesus. Try talking to Jesus. Try praying to him. See what happens. So she's all excited. She goes home to her mother. And that day, her mother was incredibly sick. And at 12 o'clock, in the middle of the day, her mother passed away. So here's this girl, 15 years old, completely alone, in total shock. She said to my friend, she said, I just didn't know what to do. I was just frozen in place. Just paralyzed with fear and uncertainty. Thereby the body of my mother on the bed who just died. I just didn't know what to do. I was terrified. So then her friend came over to mourn with her and stayed with her for a time during the afternoon and then left after a couple of hours. Well then, it was 6 o'clock on this same day, so 6 hours later, 6 hours after her mother had died. And she said, I suddenly remembered the conversation from earlier that morning about Jesus. And she said, for the first time in my life, I prayed to Jesus. And she said, this is kind of the nature of my prayer. I said, Jesus, I wanted to ask you to heal my mother, but now it's too late. And I'm scared. And I'm all alone. And I don't know what to do. Can you help me? Just kind of a simple prayer like that. Not a great long prayer, just a simple prayer. And at that moment, her mother started coughing. Now, at this point of the story, some of you perhaps are a little bit skeptical, and like me, you start to go, oh, so she was obviously in some sort of a coma or, you know. She was only mostly dead. She wasn't really dead. Well, for those of you who have those thoughts of skepticism, let me say, this is how skepticism works. It kind of masquerades as logic, because that seems more logical to our Western minds, that, oh, she wasn't really dead. Obviously, there was, she was just asleep or something. Yeah, because that makes more sense, doesn't it? That on the only day that this girl has ever heard about Jesus, that at the precise moment she offers this prayer to Jesus, 6 hours after she and her friend are totally convinced that her mother's dead, her mother starts coughing. Yeah, that's more logical, isn't it? Strange thing, the way that our minds work. Well, they managed to get this woman to the local hospital, only to discover that there were no signs of cancer anywhere in her body. This woman whose body had previously been absolutely riddled with cancer. Well, now 10 years later, she and her mother are full-time evangelists and just spend all their time just spreading the good news about Jesus. My friend asked her, how do you deal with the reality that any day someone might burst through your door and arrest you or imprison you or torture you or rape you? This is what the authorities do over there. Seemingly no conscience. How do you deal with that reality? And with this confident look on her face, this now 25-year-old young woman, she said, persecution and suffering are part of the Christian life. And if God should show me the honour of being able to participate in that, then I'm happy. And God is worth it. What courage. Jesus encourages. He places courage in the hearts of people. Well, the letter to the church in Smyrna, we know, finishes in the same way as they all do. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What's the Spirit saying to the church here in Perth? What's the Spirit of God saying to you this morning? And to me. You know, the groan of the early church was Maranatha. You know that word? It's an Aramaic word. It means come quickly, Lord Jesus. The modern church has lost that groan. And instead our cry is more along the lines often of, take your time, Lord. We want you to return, but actually we're having a pretty comfortable and happy time down here. Let's be diligent in praying for the church around the world, particularly the persecuted church. I encourage you to be informed and be encouraged even by this morning's message to take note not only of the fact that we are not Smyrna, and you may be thankful for that, but there are churches all around the world, places like Iran, Afghanistan. You can find out more information through organizations that you would know of, like Open Doors. Be informed. Find out. Be prayerful. Let's close in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this amazing letter to the church in Smyrna, for the things that we can learn. It seems, Lord, so many of the things contained in this letter don't really apply to us in the same way. We're not in the midst of persecution. If the prayers of the Chinese church are answered, we will be, and maybe that's for the best. But Lord, help us, like Paul, to be able to say, whatever my situation, I've learned to be content. Whether I have plenty or whether I have need, your grace is sufficient for me. That because I have you, Lord Jesus, I have all that I need. And if all else were stripped away, I would still be faithful to you. Help us, Lord, with our priorities. Help us with our financial decisions, the way we spend money, whether it be on ourselves or on others. Help us to be generous. Help us to walk in step with your Spirit, who guides us moment by moment, day by day, that we would align ourselves with your will for our lives. And teach us, we pray. Continue to teach us. Continue to teach this local fellowship here through the different letters to the different churches. Each week, I pray that you would give these folk just one simple thing that will apply to them. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word that is living and active and speaks to us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.